Hi, it's Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online, inviting you to subscribe to our other podcast called The Grave Talks. It's where I sit down and interview individuals who've had extreme paranormal situations happen to them in their lives. Just search The Grave Talks on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you download podcasts. Be sure to press subscribe and give us some stars to help spread the word that this show exists. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, ghost trains. Is there such a thing as a ghost train? What is it about an old steam engine that feels so haunting? What exactly is that feeling you get when hiking down the remnants of an old railroad track deep in the woods that seems to link to another time and place? There's something very ghostly about trains and rails that once took them from place to place. Today on The Grave Talks, we discuss stories of ghost trains and the haunted rails of America and the world with author Matt Sweeney.
The more I connect with people about this book, the more I'm getting, you know, feedback that they've been interested in, you know, these ghostly legends around railroads and around trains. So, you know, it all starts because I was born on Halloween. I always blame that for my interest in it. But basically, the genesis of this idea was that when I live in a town called Tyrone, Pennsylvania, and it's very close to Altoona, Pennsylvania, which is kind of the epicenter for the railroad industry around this area. And, you know, sometimes they consider it the railroad capital of the world at one time. And so I come from a long line of railroaders as well. My grandfather worked on the railroad. His father was also worked on the railroad. They were both engineers and firemen in different times of their career. So I've always been interested in railroad history. And for me, what happened to me is I worked with a guy who was actually one of the premier railroad historians in this area. And he knew that I was writing these books about ghosts. And he said, you really ought to look into some of these ghost legends and roll that into a book too, because that's generally what I do. I take things that I'm interested in, especially history, and then I try to find ghost stories, ghost lore, folklore around that subject. And so that's really how I came up with this idea. There have been other books that have also explored that too. So there was some material there, but you're right. There's a fine line, maybe not so fine, but there's a line between what I consider spiritual or supernatural encounters and ghost lore. I think they can be connected, but I think that they are fairly distinct. And this is the first time in this book where I experienced really there's just a lot of what I would call ghost lore, folklore based on ghosts surrounding railroad legends and things of that nature. So what I try to do is I usually approach these as a journalist. And what I try to do is I try to find as much detail about the history, and then I try to find as much information about the legends that surround it, and I'll try to tease out some personal encounters. A lot of times I rely on paranormal investigators because they seem to be able to give me the most reliable information, although probably not as impactful as some of these ghost stories that you get firsthand. And also what I notice is after I write these books, that's generally when people reach out to me and say, you know, I had this encounter when I was working on the railroad. I've already had several of those pop up.
Sure. That seems to be the catalyst of, oh, somebody wants to hear these stories. And then part two comes out eventually with even more, right. Even more stories in it. And I want to talk about some of the stories that you have in the book, but tell me personally, what were some of the ghost train legends that you remember hearing from growing up, whether or not you added them into the book, but what was some of the lore around your area?
Oh yeah. So when I was a kid, there was a stretch of railroad line that went, in fact, I lived probably about a block from a rail yard at the paper mill. And if you followed up that rail line, maybe about a mile and a half, it starts getting into more rural areas. And there was this story about a worker on the railroad. I think he was a conductor or a fireman. And when he was working, there were a bunch of legends actually about it, but there was one where he fell off the train and was decapitated. And his ghost was roaming that section of rail line looking for his head. There was another one that he was drunk, passed out, and got run over by the train. But in any event, there was this legend about this ghost in that area. And so, you know, I honestly didn't really look into it that deeply, because what I experienced was, when I started writing this book, all these communities, not all, but many communities have a similar story. And it makes me think, I go back to when I wrote about the ghost lore and the ghost stories of universities. It makes me think that there's another reason why we tell these stories beyond this kind of experience with the supernatural. And I think telling a kid, an impressionable kid about, you know, 9 years old, that there's a ghost on that rail line, maybe they think that will keep me away from, you know, that dangerous section of tracks or screwing around out there in the rail yard. And I will be honest with you, it worked. So that was one of the rail legends. And I think there are probably a few others if I can think about it.
Sure. It's interesting that, I mean, these obviously were tales that were told many a years ago, as cautionary tales to keep kids away, just as Krampus was a story about keeping kids in line. Now all you have to do is just say, there's no Wi-Fi at the rail yard, and you'll keep the kids away. No need for ghost trains or yeah. Headless people. There's no Wi-Fi down there. Oh, my right. God! No!
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting thing. Sometimes, though, and I want to ask you this, where you have what essentially are legends that are told over time, did you ever have any intersecting places when you were doing your research here and in hearing these stories where you did find, oh, there is some substance to where the story may have began, whether that was a fatality on the rail yard or something of that nature, where it seems this is lore, but there was a starting point to it that's based in fact?
Well, that's exactly what I was alluding to with the fact that these are connected. And there are a bunch of theories about why these could be connected. In other words, people have real supernatural encounters in areas where there's a lot of ghost lore. It could be that they're just keyed up and looking for signs of the supernatural. It could be, other people have told me in other theories that I've read, is that there is a consciousness connection that your consciousness kind of creates these supernatural encounters, or maybe it raises your awareness to the level where you're able to interact on a different level with whatever energies are in that area. And there are several stories that I've encountered in writing, I think 5 or 6 or 7 books on this, where that's the case. And if I go back to the university one, I wrote a chapter about a ghost story that occurs where I work at Penn State, in Old Botany, a very old, probably the oldest standing building on campus. And for me, it was pure ghost lore. It was pure legend. There was no real historical truth to most of the legend. Yet I encountered a custodian who said that he experienced stuff on such a regular level or a regular basis that he asked to be transferred from that building because he had to clean it at night. And he said it was, the activity was just crazy. So that's the case. Now, when I looked into Haunted Rail, I found one real startling case, which occurs in Malvern, Pennsylvania. And the story starts really with a secretary for the railroad company in that area. And he began to collect these stories from people who encountered real strange activity at a certain section of this line. And they would come into him on, again, on a regular basis and tell him that in one case, the one person was walking by at night and saw these orbs, these different colored orbs dancing around this area. And he said that this indeed was a sign that there had been Irish workers in that area who were killed or murdered. And he said these were the ghosts of those victims. And so this secretary over time collected those. And then years and years later, he would, every Thanksgiving, would talk to his grandsons about these strange stories that occurred in this section. And these, the grandsons were later on became, I guess, what you would call amateur anthropologists. And so they went and, based on these ghost stories, went and looked for evidence of some type of murder or massacre in that area. They relied on some anthropologists from the university, the nearby universities, and they indeed found evidence that there was some type of mass grave right in that section where they saw these ghosts. So that's a case of where you have ghost lore, real encounters, and then historical evidence kind of all playing out together. And that's the stories that I really love, because there's so much tension in it. So many parties have so much at stake in something like that.
Sure. Let's jump into some of those stories, some of the stories that you discovered and uncovered when you were working on this book, maybe stories that you had not heard before that now really stand out to you and go, that's a great, great ghost story right there.
Sure. You know, I could probably name a bunch of them.
Sure.
You know, the ones that kind of stand out for me, there was one that occurred in Austin, Pennsylvania. And I know it sounds like I'm talking a lot about Pennsylvania. It's only about Pennsylvania, but that's because there happens to be a lot of railroad history in Pennsylvania. And I think it spawned a lot of these ghost stories. But this one was interesting for me because, you know, just kind of analyzing on a mythological level. But the story goes that there was a rail yard in this town of Austin, Pennsylvania. And I think this occurs in the 30s or so. And the workers in this yard had seen this very strange man wandering around the train cars and the box cars. And the way they described him was very peculiar. He was super tall, like abnormally tall, abnormally thin. And they said he didn't walk, but he kind of slinked through these rail cars. Eventually, the workers tried to chase him off. And when they did, they said they would just get up to him and he would almost disappear. He was so fast, unnaturally speedy. And, you know, so these stories circulate through the town. And a couple weeks later, a dam bursts above the town and creates a flood that was real devastating for this small town. So when I heard this story, I immediately start thinking about legends like Slender Man, mm-hmm. or Mothman. And Mothman had a similar theme. They had all these supernatural encounters. Suddenly that phenomena disappears, and then there's this tragedy, almost like a prophecy.
Yeah.
So that was a kind of interesting story for me.
I hope you enjoyed your 15-minute preview of our new podcast, The Grave Talks. Be sure to subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you download podcasts to not miss any episode of the show. New episodes every single Monday. Just search for The Grave Talks and then press subscribe. Give us a review while you're at it and some stars that will help us grow in the rankings and let other folks know that the show exists to make an even better show for you. The Grave Talks. Check it out at thegravetalks.com.